Adele said, yo, this book, we have to fucking, we have to shoot this book because this is our Ciudad Deus, you know, our La End. This is the movie that will bring us to Hollywood and open the door. And then, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer is going to watch the movie and we're going to make Bad Boys. So he was already planning that. And I was like, damn. Yeah, he had like this master plan. And I
and
was
he
like,
said, you said specifically Bad Boys.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, it was because, you know, the Bad Boys 3 was not made yet, and I was like, you know, if we can direct the book the same way that it was written, and as you read the book, it was like City of God or La Haine, and we get the chance to go to Hollywood, and we knew also that Will Smith had, you know, give the job for Pursuit of Happiness to an Italian director, we were like, okay, so maybe, you know, we go there, we ask Bad Boys 3 if nobody made it yet, and who knows, maybe Will's gonna give it to us. So
that's
that was
insane.
The...
You have incredible manifesting powers, Adam.
Welcome to Growth Untold, the podcast where we dive into thoughtful conversations and insightful discussions with world-class people, all with the aim of inspiring, educating, and empowering our listeners.
We are thrilled to have you here with us on this exciting journey to explore the diverse stories and the ideas that have the power to shape the world for the better.
Welcome to Growth Untold, the podcast.
Growth Untold listeners, today we are graced with two cinematic storytellers that hail from the vibrant landscape of Belgium. This duo have combined their incredible talents to create an unmistakable imprint in the world of film and television. From gripping films, Image, Black, and Gangsta, to TV series Snowfall and Miss Marvel. And let's not forget their creative work on one of Hollywood's iconic franchises, Bad Boys, featuring my friend Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. In 2022, they released the incredible drama Rebel, which garnered critical acclaim upon its release. Please help me welcome the dynamic duo Aidil and Bilal. Guys,
nice.
Welcome.
Salam.
Salam. Welcome. So, I'm very blessed to have you guys here. Very fortunate to have you. We've been talking for a while, but we haven't met in person.
Yeah.
So this is my first time. You're tall, man. You're a tall motherfucker, Bilal. You're taller than I anticipated, and like bigger than I anticipated too.
Yeah.
This is your first time meeting in person.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, Moroccan. I don't see many Moroccans that are built. Are you full Moroccan?
I'm full. Yeah, yeah. Full Moroccan. Both parents. And Adil is also, I think, as big as me. So.
Jeez. Yeah, damn, man.
a little less tall, almost.
Yeah, damn. All right. Well, look, a lot of stuff to get into. Where do I want to start? I want to start with, like, you guys, your upbringing, because obviously you have a really interesting story. You're both Moroccan background, but you grew up in Belgium, and you guys actually met in film school, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so tell me about that, because a lot of people say, like, don't mix business with your friends or family. You guys went one step further. You mixed business, friendship, and artistic endeavors, which is huge. So tell me about how you guys met and, like, how did you decide that you were going to come out as a directing duo?
Yeah, it was, I think, that first day of film school when I was there, you know, it was like only white artistic people that were there. There's not a lot of Moroccan immigrants that are doing movies or, you know, do art. And then I saw in the corner, I saw Adil. I was like, hey, yo, you Moroccan? And he said, yes. And then, you know, we formed a gang immediately. and at the same time, we were very inspired by Hollywood movies. And our school is a very artistic movie. So they like more like the auteur cinema. And we just felt like we had the same, you know, the same feelings or the same vision. And then when I was making my short movie, it was on my set. And when he was making his short movie, I was on his set. And then, yeah, organically, we just became this duo. And after years, we decided to, you know, to be a duo directing team, Adil and Bilal. So
that's amazing. And Adil, how long was film school?
You mean how long ago that we were in film school?
Both. I was going to ask you how old were you back then. But yeah, both. How
I was 18, so it's been now almost 15, 16 years ago, something like that, maybe even longer. And film school took 4 or 5 years where we both, me and Bilal, flunked the first year. We still are pissed off about that, but eventually it all turns out. And it was like you said, you know, he was the only Moroccan, so I was very intimidated as an 18-year-old boy. I didn't dare to say anything to anybody, so I was really just in the corner. But Bilal, he was already Mr. Popular and talking to everybody as if he was the Fresh Prince. So he was really thankful that he came to talk to me.
Perspective. I didn't feel like that at all.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I was
just
loud at the time. I was loud.
It's interesting, man. Because I went to theater school, same thing. We did like 15, 16-hour days every day. You know, we did everything from Commedia dell'arte to modern, Shakespeare, all that. And again, I was one of the only visibly ethnic people in that class. It was only 30 people my year. And I felt like a little bit of an outcast. But I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that gives you a little bit of extra motivation of like, I'm going to prove these guys that I can do this, you know, especially you guys saying like you flunked almost the first year. I can tell, like, I wasn't the favorite either in theater school. Right. So that gives you a little bit of extra motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But Adil, you can go.
No. I mean, exactly. Like you said, Hollywood was just a really bad word there. And obviously we appreciate the things that we learn. I mean, we discovered Michel Haneke, we discovered the movies by Godard, and there was really like we really became very educated in the art house cinema. But from the moment that we explained that we wanted to, you know, make Hollywood movies or that we loved Hollywood movies, that just didn't help our case. You know, we were very much the outsiders at that point.
All right. And then you graduated. What was your first film as a duo? Was it a short film or was it a feature? And which film was it?
Yeah, which one was the first one, really?
it was called a movie called Image, which is a really suck-ass movie that's not good. But I mean, that was the first one. We did it with the budget of a short film. Maybe we should have made a short film out of that. But, you know, we were like very eager and impatient. So we said, no, fuck it. We're going to do a feature movie. But the first real good one was Black. That was really the movie that eventually became the ticket to Hollywood.
Yeah. And I've watched Black. And talk to me about that, because you guys have both said that it was your ticket to Hollywood. Tell me about that process, because obviously, like, growing up in Belgium, like, I grew up in Canada, so I felt like I was far away, and that's Canada. I can't imagine you guys being all the way in Belgium and feeling like, you know, how are we going to get to Hollywood? So you felt like Black was your ticket. So how did that transpire? Like, how did you go from Black to getting into the Hollywood system?
Well, yeah, Black is based on a book by a famous Belgian writer, Dirk Brekke. And he told a real story about, you know, this black girl from a black gang in Brussels that falls in love with a Moroccan guy from a Moroccan gang in Brussels. So it's kind of a Romeo and Juliet. And it told also like the reality that happens in Brussels that nobody really talks about. You only see it like in an article in one line. And also if you watch our short movies, it was always in that world. And this book was like, this is finally a story that is tells something really specific and the injustice that happens, but at the same time is also a universal story. And so Adil said, yo, this book, we have to shoot this book, because this is our Ciudad Deus, you know, our La End. This is the movie that will bring us to Hollywood and open the door. And then, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer is going to watch the movie and we're going to make Bad Boys. So he was already planning that. And I was like, damn. Yeah, he had like this master plan. And I was like,
said, you said specifically Bad Boys.
Yes. Yeah. It was because, you know, the Bad Boys 3 was not made yet. And I was like, you know, if we can direct the book the same way that it was written. And as you read the book, it was like City of God or La Haine. And we get the chance to go to Hollywood. And we knew also that Will Smith had, you know, give the job for Pursuit of Happiness to an Italian director. We were like, okay, so maybe, you know, we go there, we ask Bad Boys 3 if nobody made it yet, and who knows, maybe Will's gonna give it to us. So
That's insane. You have incredible manifesting powers, Adit. Like, incredible. That's insane that you specifically said that.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, yeah, I believe you. I feel it. It's gonna happen. The only plan in the plan, we won an Oscar with Black. That didn't happen, but
that's okay. It's coming. Yeah. And so before I go ahead to Rebel, because I do want to make a parallel between both movies, because I would say they're both kind of, you did Black, right? And then you went off and basically did a lot of big studio Hollywood projects. You did Bad Boys 3. You're doing Bad Boys 4, Miss Marvel. You did a DC film that got canned. So you went and did that, and then you came back to your roots and doing Rebel. But I wanna just stick with Black. So Black comes out, it gets received really well. What are the next things that happen that get you to Hollywood?
Well, you know, the first time that we got a phone call from an American manager, that was already like a dream come true. Because some people had seen that in LA, and yeah, you get the phone call, there's like Beverly Hills, and you pick up the phone and it's like an American voice, so it's like, oh shit, it's as if you're listening to a movie, you know. and they asked us, like, they love Black, they asked us what we wanted to do in the future, and we said big Hollywood action movies. And then they said, okay, great, you want to come to LA, but we didn't have no money to go to LA, so instead they came to Brussels for 24 hours, and that's where we had the deal made to work with them. It was Management 360, and then eventually the movie went to the Toronto Film Festival, where we had several agencies talking to us, and one of them was CAA, and the movie won a prize there, a Discovery Award for TIFF. And yeah, it's like the whole world of LA that opens, like everything that you dream about. We had meetings with executive producers, actors. We went to all the studios, and then it starts to roll. It's like all these projects are coming to us, and we were like, shit, now we're going to really do something in Hollywood. So that's how it all started, basically.
That's incredible, man. Your guys' energy, it just beams success because it's so positive. And Alex and I have talked a lot on the podcast about, you know, I've had ups and downs in Hollywood. You know, I've had big moments, and I also have had some down moments where I haven't been as positive. And I've noticed that in moments where I've been negative and down on myself, that's when things aren't going well and things don't come to me. But when you're positive and you really believe it, like you guys said, like, we're going to do Bad Boys, it comes to you. It really does. If you believe strong enough for long enough, I feel like the world really does give it to you. Have you guys felt that way? Have you had moments where you've been down, and how have you overcome those moments? Because you've obviously had each other to kind of hold each other up.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that we were two, that makes a big difference, because every time somebody's down, somebody's up. So you have this constant force of somebody who's like, you know, let's go, let's not give up, you know? But I think like the biggest or the time that I had most difficult time, it was actually when I was making Bad Boys, like the biggest movie we ever made in our life, our first Hollywood movie. And the pressure just got too much, and you start to doubt everything you do. And it's like, if you fail, you know, your life is gonna be done. And that's also when I realized, like, you know, you pursue your dream, you pursue your career, but you have your real life, your family and friends. And that, at that moment, I realized that is the strongest power you have. It's your family and friends. And that's also where you have to be always focused on. You know, work is something that, you know, your career is something that it's a blessing, but you have to accept that when you make something and it fails. It's just the way it is. You have to keep going and pursue your career. You cannot give up.
Yeah. And what about after? Because for me, like, Aladdin, I had no problem locking in during Aladdin. And I was like, this is the biggest moment of my life. I'm getting to work with Will Smith, like, who I've looked up to my whole life. And I didn't really have a problem locking in and living up to the moment. but it was after where I fell. It was after like not getting the response that I felt I deserved. That's where I fell, and I felt like started doubting myself, and I started losing all the things that like made me successful. So for you, Bilal, it was during, right? It's during when those doubts came and stuff. But after, as directors, I know it's different too, because you got to go into post-production and you've got to like edit the film. You got to do all that. Were there any moments in between projects where you guys were like, oh my God, was this a one-time thing? Is it going to happen again? Like, did any of those thoughts happen? Or was it, Adnan is like, no, man, we're going to do Bad Boys 17.
Well, no, I think that right after Bad Boys, because, you know, the period of making it was so hard, and it was maybe one of the worst periods of our lives, you know, emotionally, that by the time the movie came out and it did well, we were all like, alhamdulillah, we survived.
Yeah.
So what's next? And at that point, you know, it's as if you were MVP. Everybody wants to work with you, and it's like a ton of projects. And then you got to choose what you want to do. And the tricky thing is that the project that we did after that, they were critically very much acclaimed, but they didn't necessarily have the commercial success of Bad Boys. So that's like the things that sometimes you ask yourself, okay, we are making art and we actually becoming better as filmmaker, whether it was Miss Marvel or Rebel or, you know, a Belgian TV show we also did on Netflix that really got the respect from the industry, respect from critics, but was not the wide commercial success. So you have existential questions for yourself. What do we do in the future? Do we continue in the more, you know, artistic path, or are we going to go for the big, big commercial things?
Right. Well, this is where I want to tie it back in, and I'm sorry I'm not letting you talk, Alex.
No, it's all good,
I'm just fanboying low-key. Like, I've been waiting for years to meet these guys and actually talk to them in person, so awesome. I'll let you talk, though, I promise.
Do what you gotta do, man.
So, for me, I'll watch Black because, like I said, we've been talking for a while, so I watched Black, and I just watched Rebel. And for me, it was pretty incredible seeing the growth from the two films. Like, I felt like you guys took everything you learned from the big studio films and kind of incorporated it into Rebel in a way. Because Black was really raw, but it was like raw. It was like two young directors who you could tell had a lot of talent and skill, but they were, you know, it was raw. And Rebel was raw as well, but watching it, I could tell you were starting to utilize some of those techniques, some of the like incredible shots in Rebel, man. Like some incredible shots. Like one of the shots is when the main character's in the back and he's getting recruited to go to the other Islamic, I think it was ISIS, right? He didn't start from ISIS, but he's getting recruited and he's sitting in the driver's seat, and in the back you see them gun down his friend. Mm-hmm. That kind of perspective and those kind of shots. And I also think it was really smart on your part because it was a showcase of the different things you could do. Like, I felt with Rebel, you were telling Hollywood, like, hey, we can do a war film, like watch this amazing war sequence. Hey, we can do a musical, like watch these musical sequences in this film. Like, you really put everything into this film to showcase what you could do. And it was just incredible because I was like, man, I remember watching Black and now watching Rebel. It was just amazing. And by the way, the main actor, I know you guys worked with him on Black.
Yeah.
He's amazing, man.
Yeah.
He's like rapping in it. He's dancing in it. He's got these like intense dramatic scenes. Is that something you guys vowed to yourself that you would still work with people that you like knew and respected even when you made it to the next level?
Yeah, I think that's very important for us. You know, we have a team, we're really team workers and we're really loyal to our team. But at the same time, they're very talented people, and that's why and they understand the vision. So, you know, like Abu Bakr, we knew in Black, he was a young guy. He was like 17, 18. And I saw him grow up throughout our career. And we knew that he had so much more to give and so much talent that we didn't see yet. And that's why we were like, yeah, he should be the main actor in Rebel, because he can't do all of that when he gave everything. He also like learned to drive the motorcycle, and he's a rapper himself, so he wrote also all the lyrics. We gave him the subject matter and then he wrote it, and it was like, yeah,
it was amazing.
He's not just an actor, he's so much more, and that's what we thought we could really show in this movie Rebel.
Yeah, and that scene, I don't want to ruin the film, but that scene,
oh, it's too late for that, man.
Well, no, I haven't said it. That scene where he gives Noor the motorcycle for her to escape, yeah, essentially, like that's such a huge payoff, because it's almost like it's his one like give back to the world, you know, even though he's made this obviously grave mistake. Anyways, that's all I'll say about it, but I thought Rebel was amazing. I think that I think that incredible things will come out of that, and incredible opportunities, like I said, because you guys just showcased so much in it. I want to shift a little bit and talk about your heritage, your background, where you come from. That's obviously really important, because this podcast is all about showcasing diversity and, you know, different backgrounds. And I'm also Egyptian, North African, like you guys. You guys always find a way, I mean, even in Ms. Marvel, to really champion Muslim characters, you know, brown characters, North Africans, Arabs. Why is that so important to you to do? Is it because of your upbringing? Like, is it because you were close to your religion growing up? Is it because of your parents? Like, why is that so important to you? And are you finding it difficult doing it now that you've found success?
You wanna?
Well, I think for us, when we grew up in Belgium, we didn't really have a lot of movies or TV shows where there were people as main characters that looked like us, or Muslim characters. Or usually you would see an American movie where people that were Arabs or Muslim were just the terrorists or the criminals or whatever. And I think that for us, it's very important to make personal projects where we recognize aspects of ourselves in the main characters. And in Belgium, we wanted to also just to give the chance to a whole generation of people that didn't get the chance to play in movies and TV shows to finally, you know, showcase their talent. So that's why we have a lot of people of Moroccan and African descent in our movies. And in terms of American movies, we gravitated more towards movies where African Americans were the main characters. You know, that's why we love the movies of Spike Lee, or that's why we love Bad Boys, the Bad Boys movies, because there's something relatable in the kind of struggle that is happening for the African American community in America, whereas, you know, the same for the African or Arab European community. And when we got the chance to work for Marvel, we thought, you know, okay, we want to be part of the MCU, part of Marvel, because it's the biggest in the biz after Bad Boys. But if we're going to do that, we're going to do that our way. And we were joking, like, you know, we're just going to do a Muslim superhero, not knowing that there was actually one existing, which was Ms. Marvel. And when we read the comics and her story, you're just reminded of us, of me and Bilal, being Moroccan Belgians in a Western country, navigating as a teenager between those two worlds and not knowing where you belong. Same with, you know, Kamala Khan, a Pakistani American, or I can assume for you also, Mina, where you're, you know, Canadian, Egyptian. what are you actually? So yeah. I think it's always important to tell our story through our works somehow.
And with Rebel specifically, you guys chose a subject matter that I found really interesting, which was the radicalization of Islam, right? And I think that's really important, because in the West, I don't think most people really understand the difference between like radical Muslims and then the religion of Islam and then being Arab. And those three things for me are very distinct, but they always get blurred in the Western world because people don't understand it. And even for me, like after 9/11, like people just assumed I was Muslim. People assumed all sorts of things. And I felt my life really change after 9/11 in a non-directional way, which was like, you know, just going through life. 9/11 made such an imprint on people, especially in America. And I think those things get really blurred. Did you do that? And especially now, you know, with what's happening in the Middle East, I think the story and the message of Rebel is so relevant right now. why did you guys choose specifically this subject matter and to write the story? Because you also wrote Rebel.
Yeah, it's like you said, 9/11 was a big, it changed the whole world, and it changed also, you know, the view on Muslims. You know, we are all like radicalized and terrorists. So, and at school, like the teacher would ask me, hey, what's happening in the Middle East? And I'm like, it's not because I'm Muslim. I know what's happening there. I'm from Morocco. So these things are, you know, have been always an influence throughout, you know, when you grew up. But the thing is, I come from a neighborhood where there's a lot of Muslims. And in 2011 and 12, I started to see a lot of these friends that I went to school with and play soccer with. I saw them leaving towards Syria. And I was like, well, what is going on? Why is everybody leaving? This is happening in my community and I'm seeing it firsthand. So this phenomenon was something that was really intriguing to us. And we were like, we have to understand what is going on. And then to see later all the attacks that happened in Europe, in Belgium, in France, it felt so painful to see because they have the same background as us. They're Belgian Moroccans, Muslims, and we felt like if we don't tell this story, you know, with all the complexities and the nuances, who's going to do it? So we felt like that's really a story we have to tell, and we have to tell it as authentically as possible. So that's why we worked on this script for like 8 years and wow, and talked with so many people to yeah, try to make a movie that explains what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, well, congrats, guys. I think you did that, and you're right. Like, who better to do it than you guys? All right, I'm going to shut up and let Alex talk a little bit.
No, man, I'm happy being the fly on the wall. This is amazing stuff right here, guys. A quick question we had is just, we talked about the pros of working together. You guys are super supportive. Your energy is infectious. But I just want to talk about the duo dynamics. Has there been, on the flip switch, like, has there ever been a time where, like, Adil, you had an amazing idea, Bilal's like, oh, that's stupid, man, we're not doing that. Or like, or on the other end, like, you had an incredible idea and it was challenged. Like, how do you guys work through that or reconcile those differences?
No, I think it's mostly like when one of us has an idea or we have both an idea and we convince each other too much, you know, like, no, your idea was better. No, your idea is better. You know, that can happen sometimes, but it's, you know, there can be moments where usually when we doubt, when both of us doubt, then we know that something's wrong, you know, something's up. And when we're sure about something, both of us, then we know, okay, it's good. But there can be situations where we're not 100% sure, you know, we're like, we're convincing each other, no, it's going to be all right, right? It's going to be all right. There's no problem, right? No, there's no problem. And then finally there is a problem. And one of us should have said, it's fucked, man.
Where does this positivity come from? Like, you,
so much.
Yeah, there's so much positivity off you guys. Where does it come from?
Well, you're blessed. We can make movies, you know, from the moment you have a camera, it's just like, it's a passion. So just having a camera and shooting stuff, even with my phone every day, it's just a blessing. So I get the positive energy from that. Imagine I would not do that. Then I'd probably not be as positive.
Yeah. Damn, what about you, Adil?
Yeah, I'm not the same. Like, it's like every time, you know, I pinch myself, I say, alhamdulillah, we made it. We're making a movie with Will and Martin. We're doing Bad Boys. We're in Hollywood. We're everything that we dreamed of is happening. And it's like, you still feel like you're a faker or a fanboy or an imposter, but you're still there. So you want to be happy while it lasts. It's there, and hopefully it's gonna stay for a little longer, you know. So that's why, yeah, like you said, that we are blessed to do it. But you know, there's always ups and downs. I mean, I think that you mentioned it, like when Bad Girl was canned, that is like a big down, you know, and it's like still a confusing feeling because it was really also a dream, you know, it was a privilege to have those memories and to be part of it. And at the same time, it's also a downer because nobody, you know, had the chance to see it. So that's like the mixed feeling between being super happy and blessed and at the same time that disappointment.
And what happened between you guys when that happened? Like, were you like, let's go to a bar and drink our sorrows away? Or like, were you like, just come over and we'll hang out? Like, how did you guys get each other out of that reality? Because that is like, I can imagine that was disappointing.
Yeah, it was very disappointing. I was in Morocco for Adele's wedding. So
congratulations, by the way. That wasn't too long ago, so right? It's been like a year or something you've been married?
Yeah.
Nice. So we were in Morocco, and it was like the whole family was there, and I've seen family I didn't see for like 10 years, so it was really, you know, you're with family, and it was his, you know, his wedding. So getting that news, you're surrounded by good people, and that makes that helps you not to, you know, go all crazy. But you know, there was also Will Smith at the wedding, and we went to Will and we asked, what do we have to do with this situation? And he said, don't go social media. Don't look, don't watch, just ignore. And basically what happened is I ignored really all the news articles and what everybody was saying. And I was just staying with family in Morocco, back to the roots. And that felt really good. And at the same time, there was also a lot of support from the industry, people from Hollywood that were like texting us, you know, on Instagram and on WhatsApp. Getting all that support and love get you through that time. I just felt also really, really bad for, you know, the cast and the crew that worked really hard on it. And we felt that was mm-hmm. something special in this movie, and we'll never show it, but you know, there's also this feeling as a Muslim that you have to accept that, you know, it's maktub, you know, life is like that. You cannot control everything. This was out of our control, and you have to accept that. And that helps us, I mean, just in life, it helps us a lot to, you know, go through these very difficult times.
Yeah, God's will, right? Like that's a big thing in Islam and Christianity too, and a lot of other religions. Like just, you know, what will be, that's amazing.
I know. What this mindset you guys have of just being super grateful, reflective, and positive. Like, I know Mina's already asked, and we're beating a dead horse. Where'd this come from? You guys seem like you're just so grateful. You have like a your mama, I made it moment was when you did Black. But like, what do you guys do to maintain your positive? You know, do you guys like, I don't know, do yoga or puppy yoga? I heard that's a thing. Mina's a fan of puppy yoga.
Never done it before. Don't listen to him.
Sounds interesting. Listen to him.
You work out, obviously, Bilal, right?
Yeah, I work out, yes.
Yeah, I can tell. Okay.
Yeah, I try to do my best. But it's also really the you know, believing, you know, being a Muslim, it helps you to understand what life is and not get lost into, you know, the craziness of life. You stay centered, you stay also like very grateful. You have to like every day be grateful for all the things you have, and that's a reminder. That reminder keeps you keeps you grounded. And at the same time, you know, also the education of my parents that are also Muslim and also educated me on how to be spiritually but also mentally, and I come from a very warm family, and I think that's been a big thing for me in life.
Yeah Moroccans are warm. That's one
but
thing.
They can be very passionate, they can love hard, but they can also hate hard, so it's also
that's
I was going to say the Moroccan vibe, you know, that's the Moroccan flavor. That's how we get through it. It's like super positive and smiling, even if the situation is really, you know, very difficult and hard, but it's that force. But like you said, he's very passionate, so there's a lot of hate as well.
I do think it's something about the region too. I mean, Egypt too. I think just because the region has gone through so much struggles and always finds a way to come out the other side. Like with Egypt too, man. Like the Arab Spring, like millions of people showing up to Cairo Square to you know, this revolution, and it happens over and over again in North Africa, that I feel like that's just ingrained in our people. Like we're not, you know, we're gonna play hard, but we're gonna stand up for what we believe in as well. And I always tell Alex, like, what I tell you, the secret sauce to life is gratitude and confidence, and those are two things, you know, you just touched on. All right, I want to talk a little bit about Hollywood expectations versus reality. Like two boys from Belgium, you obviously had an idea of what Hollywood was like before you ever came to Hollywood, and now you've experienced it for a few years, more than a few years. What's one thing or two things that stuck out to you that like you thought would be how Hollywood is, and then turned out to like not be that way at all, and you were like, oh shit, this isn't like that at all.
Well, I think do you want to start with all
I was like, I'm going to Hollywood, we're gonna have all the money in the world now. Like, we're gonna have a budget, $100 million, you can do whatever you want to. No, not at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, that expectation was really yeah.
Yeah, you have studios being like, what do you spend? What's this line
what is
item?
This? How much do you spend here? We don't have budget for this, so you know, we don't have time. So all these things that you have when you have no money, you still have it when you're doing a Hollywood movie.
Yeah. It's and just... in a way, you probably have more freedom. Like, you probably had a little bit more freedom on Rebel than maybe other films, no?
No, absolutely. That's the biggest difference. When you make an independent movie, you have the creative freedom. You can do, as an artist, you can take a lot of risks. But when you make a movie, a studio movie, a Hollywood movie, then yeah, those risks are... they have
calculated.
To get, yeah, calculated, and they have to get their money back. And it's a lot of money they put in. And yes, Hollywood... it's a big budget, so the toys are biggest. So you have much more, like, you know, bigger cameras. You can use, you know, all these crazy drones and stuff. And there's a lot of other possibilities that you get with Hollywood. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, we are always talking about budgets and, you know, time and days. So it's the same struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Adil? What's one of the things that you thought would be a certain way and didn't turn out that way?
Well, you know, I think it touches a little bit on that. Is like, I thought that in Hollywood, everything was a well-oiled machine, you know, like everything, because they have so much experience. They make the biggest movies in the world. They've been doing it for the most years, 30, 50 years and stuff like that. So I thought, okay, they know everything and everything's going to go smooth. And it's a total chaotic clusterfuck, you know? So that's like, I didn't expect that. And I asked, always like that? Yeah, yeah, it's always like that.
I love it. Wait, the question, yeah, I want to continue this though to Mina. Mina, when you entered it, right? We talked about it in our first podcast about his expectation. And I also talked about the power of manifestation when Mina made an email when we were like 6-7 years old. And it was called like famous actor forever at hotmail.com. So it never expire. Mina manifested that, right? But what about your experience?
Expectation versus reality?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for me is I thought like once you do one successful thing, then it's just never going to stop. Kind of like what you said, like, oh man, I'm going to make all this money. I'm never going to have to audition again. It's going to be amazing. That's it. And the reality of it is I think Hollywood is such a competitive place because everybody wants it. Everybody wants to be in that circle that you constantly have to compete and you constantly have to work hard. You can never let your guard down. You can never, you know, rest on your laurels. You know, you always have to keep going, strive to be better, and keep competing. So that's what I would say was the biggest thing for me.
I see some parallels. So I work in the sports industry, and when I entered it, I thought I'd meet all the players. We go on private jets, PJs everywhere. You know what I mean? I thought it would be glitz and glam, but I feel like 80% of my time is behind a laptop, you know, doing presentations to organizations. But it's crazy, the expectation versus reality, right?
Yeah, I totally relate to the both things.
yeah. What about mentorship, your influences? Like you said, Adil, Spike Lee, I know those are influences of yours, but like hands-on mentorship, has anyone ever kind of walked you guys through directing, or was this kind of just all you helping each other learn? Talk to me about like influences in your life, and it can even be personal, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be in the industry, but I'd like to know both.
Yeah, well, we have like, we had great teachers at school, great directors that were teachers. So that was great at Lucas Arts Film School. And one of those teachers was Mikael Roskam, who did the movie Bullhead, and he got, you know, nominated for an Oscar. And he was our teacher at our school, and wow, seeing that, and he was our mentor also, seeing him, you know, going there and just, you know, if it just was like, if he can do it, we can do it. It's like, oh, he's there. It's like you're there because he's like our brother, but also our mentor. And people like that just give you the you know, the realization that it is possible, although you think it's like impossible and it's like on another planet and you will never be there, you know. Seeing people that close to you, that are mentoring you, that are teaching you, seeing them, you know, being so successful, that made me realize, yo, we can do this shit too, you know.
Yeah If they can do it, I can do it. Yeah
it's like in the same period we met a director, Moroccan director in Belgium. His name is Namit Ben Yadir, and he was like the first Moroccan director who made a big movie in Belgium and got a lot of success. And that meant a lot to us because as a student, like I said, we didn't have any examples of people that looked like us. And then there was this guy who was also from the hood, from a tough neighborhood, that came from nothing. And to see him succeed and then eventually, you know, becoming successful in France and internationally, that helped us also to believe even more in ourselves. Because if a Moroccan Muslim guy from Belgium can do it, then so do we.
Would you guys say you're like best friends, or do you really put a line between personal life and work?
No, it's that we're just brothers, you know. It's like you and me are brothers. I feel like Adil is like really a brother. And yeah, we just, when you make a movie, it's passionate, it is inside, deep in your soul. So it's difficult to say, yeah, no, it's professional and not, but no, I just see it as we are one, trying to, you know, get this vision to life, you know, tell these stories that people need to hear.
But outside of work, like, do you call Adil when like something in your personal life isn't going well? Do you call him, or do you guys kind of just leave it to work?
No, I mean, like 80-90% we're always talking and doing something. Yeah. So that 10% when you're alone, that's also nice to have also.
Yeah, of course. I can imagine. And then success. What does success mean to you guys? Like, is it making blockbuster films? Is it just directing, period? You know, is it owning a big house in a nice place? Like, what is success to each of you?
For me, just when I'm imagine when I'm 80 years old, I have to say to myself, I've been a good and wise man. So that's my objective, really. And as a director, I just hope that I keep learning, that I keep making better movies, and that I don't get stuck in, you know, the same automatic pilots that it's easy to go into.
Right.
So always trying to find that challenge as a director in the craft that I made, but as a human being, just want to be a good and wise man at the end.
That's awesome.
Love that.
What he says.
And that's why you're a directing duo. That's it. That's the one right there.
Finish each other's sentences. That's incredible.
You got anything else, Alex?
Yeah, I think the last thing, and just circling back to the significance of family, I know we're coming back to time, but we didn't really talk about the creative genetics that you guys had in the family growing up. We jumped right into film school where you guys met, but did you guys have any creative influences in your individual family, brother, sister, like friend, mother, father?
Well, for me, I didn't have any artistic people in my family. Usually Moroccans, they're not too artistic in Belgium. But my mother, La Rahma, she watched a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows. So and I was an only child, so I was and very shy. So I was the whole time at home watching with her, constantly television and watching the movies, and she would buy a lot of VHS tapes. So I think that my education and development of cinema was really through her, and that's why it became like a background for me from all the kind of movies that I loved, and eventually later on a lot of the people that she was a fan of and that I discovered with her, we would work with these people later on. So that's, you know, she was a huge fan of all the Jerry Bruckheimer and movies and TV shows, so to be able then to work with him and he's a kind of also a mentor for us in Hollywood. That's why it was all meant to be. That's how it became full circle.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. And for me, it's like, my father, as a Moroccan immigrant, he had a really hard life, you know, didn't have a lot of money. It was really a hard struggle, but he had this, fascination for, comic books and movies. So yeah, a lot of comic books that were like, you know, science fiction and like very historical. So when I grew up with all these comic books, and my father would always bring me to the movie theater when there is like this big sci-fi movie or historical movie. So that's how I, in the beginning, I got really interested, and I was starting with, you know, drawing. Basically, comic book is a movie because it's like storyboarding. Yeah. Cool. So I didn't know at the time that I really wanted to be a director. I was just fascinated by all this stuff. But then I saw this movie, La Haine, and La Haine is about the banlieues in Paris. And because I only saw like Hollywood movies, this was a movie that like, oh shit, this world looks like my world, and it's on the big screen, and it's a movie. And that made me realize like, oh, maybe I should like, you know, also make a movie if that's possible. And that really was the first step for me to understand what a director is and to really want to be a director.
If there's anything, any piece of advice you could give, you know, people that look like us, me and you, or even Alex, right? Any ethnic artist that's aspiring to, you know, whether it's make it to Hollywood or Broadway, just kind of pursue their passions, pursue their dreams, whether living in Belgium or Canada or Australia or Morocco, North Africa. What piece of advice would you give them if it was one thing, whether it was about life or art or just pursuing their dreams? What would you say to them?
Well, Adil,
I would say go for it and make stuff, but also make mistakes so you can learn from it. So I think that's a big advice that we try to do. I mean, we didn't think too much when we were making our little short films. We just believed and we just went for it, and we made a ton of mistakes, you know, while we were making those things. But that really helped us in growing and becoming better. Whereas sometimes we would see other students not make anything because they wanted to make something very perfect. And yeah, like perfection doesn't really exist in our job, even though we can pursue it. But that's the thing. It's like you gotta make stuff and you gotta know that you're gonna fail and go back up and continue after the failures because it's gonna make you stronger.
Yeah, exactly what he says.
What he said. I knew it. I knew you were gonna say that. I knew you were gonna say what he said. This is why you're an amazing directing duo. Well, I think looking at your life, because the whole point of doing this podcast, you know, for me too, for me and Alex, is to learn from all the incredible people we have on. And now that I've gotten to learn a bit more about you guys and your life, I would say, you know, what I've learned is just go for it without a filter. Dream big. Like, you guys had this big dream and you just went for it. You didn't like really have time, I don't think, to like doubt yourself or overthink it or like psych yourself out. You had these big dreams and you were like, we're just gonna go for it and try to get better and just, you know, focus on what we can do and what's in our control. And it happened for you guys. And I think also like just like meeting Bilal today in person, I wish you were here, but hopefully soon, inshallah. I think you're just beaming positivity, man. And I think that's so important. Such a good lesson for me because there were times in my life where I was like that. I was super positive. Like when I first moved to LA and I first moved to Hollywood, I was so positive and I was so sure of myself, and I lost that a little bit and now I have it back. But I think that's super important to remember, that don't let outside external situations or circumstances get you down, you know? And even though things don't seem like they're on the up and up, just continue to believe in yourself and be positive. Like, just be positive and be gracious and control what you can control. That's what I've learned today from you guys.
Wow.
So thank you guys. I want to say thank you. I also want to say again, like, so proud of you guys. Truly, like, you're such an incredible representation for all of North Africa and the Middle East. And the fact that you guys haven't forgotten your roots, the fact that you're going back and doing films like Rebel, really shows me that, like, our culture is in the hands, is in good hands with Adil and Bilal. Like, seriously, I think you guys are going to continue to do amazing things in Hollywood, but also keep representing North Africa, the Middle East, Islam. Like, you're going to keep representing all these things in such a gracious way. So I'm truly blessed to have done this episode with you guys. Thank you again.
Man, I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Beautiful Thanks, words. Guys. Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning in and listening. Please subscribe, share, and join the journey of Growth Untold. Don't miss a single nugget. Hit that follow button now on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and Instagram.